Come on, baby, get up. No time to waste. Oh, get your coffee on, Ticket Dan and Jake. Time to get your ticket up, stick it in your tailpipe. Oh, babe, time for the hang zone. I got a hang zone coming at you. I got a hang zone coming at you. I got a hang zone coming at you. I got a hang zone coming at you.
Yeah, here we are for the next hour. We are pleased to welcome the one true muser, Craig Jr. Miller. Do you read me, Jr.?
Hi, guys.
Over.
I read you. Do you read me?
He sounds phenomenal.
You do sound great. I know you took off a little early from the show today to save something for us.
I did. I was really excited about being on with you guys and honored. And so I put together a little gift basket for each of you with a nice wine, some coffee beans, a couple of nice books. And then it dawned on me, I can't give it to these guys because I'm not going to see them. We're not in the same place. So I'll just hold these until the next time I see you.
Blake, go get the gift bags.
Yeah, get on that, Blake.
Lisa, produce it.
All right, I'll head back.
Your thoughts, Craig. The Metroplex wants to know your thoughts on the 28-39 start for the Stratomatic Rangers.
Are they're 28-39? I heard Ty's update just then. Yeah, it's pretty disappointing. I think all Stratomatic fans thought they'd be around 500 by now.
That's a bad bit, correct?
You know, I don't mind it. Like, it doesn't bother me. I'm not really into it. Like, I kind of, when Ty goes to that part of the ticker, I tune out a little bit. But
I
don't think it's a bad bit, given that we have no sports.
It physically angers me.
It does physically anger him, but every time that he gets upset...
It needs to be ripped.
I'm back to defend myself. What are y'all talking about?
I respond with, well, would you rather have this or baseball that you have to watch?
Real baseball.
Right. Yeah, in many ways, we're catching a break here with this pandemic.
All right, I've got a few things just for you. And Craig will be here with us for a whole hour. A whole hour of Junior Miller's time.
Oh, this is a whole hour? I didn't realize that when I committed.
Well, we wanted to say that on the air, so you have to do it now.
Okay.
I started watching this show because Jake said he was going to start watching it, but it was only on my list because of you. Many years ago, you told me, you got to watch The Leftovers.
And so yeah, now I've heard you guys talking about it.
I just finished season two, and I'm thinking I chose the wrong time to watch this show.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, during the pandemic and during riots and Dallas police, you know, holding up protesters on a bridge is when I watched the bridge episode from season two. And it's a very emotional show, Junior. Why did you make me watch this thing?
I loved it because it was so weird and unlike anything else out there. And I just loved the premise of how we would react if 2% of the world's population just disappeared. And when I first heard that that's what the show was about, I thought, well, that's not that big a deal. 98% are left behind. But then as you get into it, you realize the survivor's guilt and you realize how just 2%, that's a pretty big chunk, and how that impacts just about everybody. And just the weirdness of it, all the twists and turns. I thought the acting was great. So are you guys giving it generally thumbs up, or do you feel like that it's been a waste of your time?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, I love it too.
It's just the timing of watching it during this time feels odd.
Yeah, and it's a show that I also think you sort of have to... I do most of my television consumption at night. You maybe knock out an episode with the wife, and then I'm laying there at 3 o'clock in the morning still thinking about
something
I got done watching 4 hours ago. And I'm like, but if I watch it in the morning, I might be in a terrible mood all day just thinking about all the complexities of this. So it's just, like you said, it's so interesting of a show that you almost have to plan your brain to watch it. You have to get ready for it.
Did you know about Justin Theroux's wiener before?
You know, I didn't really know anything about him before. I didn't know about his tats. I just knew that he was at the time dating Jennifer Aniston, but that's about the depth of what I knew.
Are those tattoos real?
I am not sure.
Good number of them are, but I'm not 100% sure.
Got a giant one on his back. I assumed it was just for this show. But I never knew anything about his wiener until my wife brought it up. That it was standing, like it was really, I guess I just don't gravitate and look there. I'm more looking at the jugs of the ladies. But she notices his giant package, and apparently that's like a big thing. Then people have forwarded us,
as it were.
Well, people have forwarded us articles on the giant Justin Theroux wiener. And so we found out also, we already know he's real hot. Like, he's the hottest guy I've ever seen. He's got a six-pack and all that kind of stuff. And I think he has something in, must be in his contract about the amount of shirt-off scenes. He has at least one shirt-off scene per episode.
It appears the tattoos are real, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
And did you know he co-wrote Tropic Thunder? Like, he's also, like, the funniest guy out there.
Yeah, I believe I did know that at some point.
And apparently
Back to his wiener. Can I ask you more about his wiener?
Yeah.
They never showed it in the show, right?
No, my wife saw it when he was jogging in his sweatpants.
Oh, okay. She was looking through the clothing.
Back when he would jog and grab some cigarettes.
How big?
Junior, I have an NBA note that I would like to run by you. I was listening
Are we done with leftovers talk?
Unless you have a closer.
Well, the thing is, we're at the end of season two, and we both needed a palate cleanser, so we haven't started season three yet because it was just too much, and we needed a couple weeks, so we don't want anything spoiled for us too much.
All right, I'll come back on when you're done with it all, maybe.
Okay. I've seen a couple of spoilers sent to me, and I get one sentence into it and think, no, I don't want this spoiler.
Okay.
But my NBA note is, I was listening to some NBA reporters discussing the plan to restart, and I think Windhorst had an article just the other day, and I heard him say last night, and this is something that I'd kind of pitched to Dan, but I didn't know the particulars of the deal. He says that the 22 teams that get to Orlando, from the time that they get to Orlando, go through their miniature training camps, and play their 8 regular season games that will then result in only 16 teams being left, that time frame will be 7 weeks about. You're not allowed to have anybody from your family down there for that time. You're only allowed to have 35 team personnel per team, so no family at all for 7 weeks. So we've talked a lot about how most of these guys have never gone this long since they started playing sports from being away from full 5-on-5, full contact basketball, and how weird that's going to be. Is there a single NBA player that since they became an NBA player has gone 7 weeks without having sex? And are we considering the impact that having horny NBA players for 7 weeks, what this could do to the quality of play? No girls allowed at all for 7 weeks.
So that's the first thing that I thought of when I heard about that plan was these guys are going to be smuggling women in left and right to whatever biosphere they're living in, right? They have to be.
But if you're the guy who gets caught doing that and then the league has to shut down or something because that person was infected or something, I mean, I really think most NBA players, since the time they were about 16, can get a woman at their doorstep in 30 minutes with a couple taps on a phone.
Yes.
And they've never experienced a 7-week drought since they first felt the touch of a woman.
I would agree with that. The only guy historically that comes to mind would be A.C. Green, because he was an avowed virgin at the age of, he was a 40-year-old virgin.
Wasn't he a born-again virgin, though?
Yeah, but he had at least gone 7 weeks without having sex. I think he may have gone 20 years without having sex or something like that. But today's NBA, I can't think of anybody.
And, you know, we once had Mike Ribeiro on and asked him, like, he just got a computer and asked him if he ever watched porn. And he said, no, he's never even watched porn. And he said, because he makes it. So a lot of these guys, I would guess, maybe have never even seen porn because they don't need to, right?
Right.
Definitely less than the average person, I would imagine.
Way so will less. They be discovering porn? And will that be just a poor substitute if you could actually get a mother and a daughter? Why would you? Why would you watch it, right?
Yeah, they'll be saying, why is this so popular? You know, what we do on a daily basis is way better.
Right.
Or will it become like prison, where you just have to revert to, you know, the weaker men? You turn them into, like will they be wearing...
It's a bad time to...
Lipstick and...
Rough time to be a rookie. Weak right now. I just think there's a bunch of interesting elements to this, whether it's guys who can't have their masseuse, or their security guy, or their chef, and they just live such a different lifestyle during the season, and now it's just going to be like... A church summer camp, except all boys, and how weird that's going to get.
Yeah, and to your question about how it affects the play on the court, do you have these guys that are all very angry? Do we have more fights? Do we have a bunch of, like, 80-point games because guys just have all this pent-up energy and they just go out and they go crazy?
Yeah, this will be very interesting.
Individuals scoring 80 points, not
right.
teams, but... Yeah, I guess it could translate, but I think my prediction would be these guys are definitely going to find a way around it, and there will be a back door, and they'll slip whoever the security guy is some money to let their friends come in the back door, and they will have plenty of female action.
They'll smuggle in the lady who plays Snow White a few miles away at Epcot, and
that'll be the amazing book years from now, right?
Oh my gosh, the documentary you could make about this,
yes.
If they could make it actual, it would be insane.
All right.
Yeah, there's going to be a 30 for 30 on all of these sports through this pandemic and coming back and how the season's played out. Every one of them will have a 30-30 within like 2 years, and they'll all be great.
Okay, Junior Miller is here with us in the Hang Zone for an hour. Up next is the 1:30 news.
A rally at a high school that we're familiar with because of rallies. I 158, we're in the Hang Zone. Dan and Jake with Junior Miller for one more segment. And I know that in this segment we want to discuss the recent 30 for 30 documentary on Lance Armstrong.
Can I mention one other thing first?
Yeah, because I have one other thing first,
oh,
too.
So okay.
I was gonna, go ahead.
We might never get to Lance.
Well...
We get it. Did you ever watch Zookeeper, Craig? You know what? Craig's not there, is he?
Are we on the air?
You are.
Oh, okay.
Sounding great.
My bad. You got me now?
Yeah.
Okay,
Craig
sorry
Miller.
About that.
Can I say that
I'm back.
Again?
No, I heard it.
Because I watched Zookeeper this weekend, and I have a full report prepared for this week.
I never did, because when I heard George review it as a game changer, I knew there was no reason for me to watch it.
Well don't tell him.
For some reason,
later on this week, we're going to review it and have him on.
One of the things that has been born out of quarantine is finding old takes, and Jake found some old thing where you guys were just relentlessly making fun of George for his comments. And so Zookeeper has been on my list for a while, and I...
Well, it's because he didn't say this
looks... I spent
looks...
a very long 1 hour and 40 minutes the other day.
If he had just said, this looks like it might be kind of funny...
Right.
I don't think he gets hammered for it. But if you proclaim a Kevin James vehicle as a potential game changer, I think that could blow up on you. My quick thing, now that we have the keeper of the squared away list with us, I think I've told you that I have this... this opinion before, Craig, but in addition to things like, well, give us a list, a bullet-pointed list, as DeJean would say, of what makes squared away.
So it's something you do to make yourself feel like you are kind of back to square one in a good way, that you've tightened things up, you're walking a little taller, you feel better about yourself. My original four on the list were get a haircut, get a professional teeth cleaning, completely overhaul your underwear. If you've got like 15 pair normally in your underwear drawer, throw them all away, burn them if you have to, and then get brand new underwear. And then the fourth was mow and edge the lawn. Whenever you do those things, you just feel really squared away, like you're okay for the next few hours or few days.
Well, I feel like the underwear one is under-publicized because some people will buy like a new 5-pack and then work it in. I used to do that.
Yeah.
And that's no good because then you got one pair with some holes in it, and the next one feels really good. And
you end up just not wearing the holdovers anyways.
The full overhaul, oh, right? Suck. The full overhaul sounds great.
Yeah,
like get 10, 15 pair, right?
Yep, that's the way to do it.
I think I have something, and it may be after kid. I'm not sure, but I strive for Sunday night squared away. And this turned into Monday this week since we were off yesterday and driving back up from Galveston. But I have to make sure, and the person who lives in my home doesn't always share this desire, I have to have all of my laundry washed, dried, folded, and put up. I cannot
every Sunday.
I cannot go into the week with laundry to do. I can't stand that feeling. The sheets have got to be washed, dried, and put on the bed on Sunday. I want clean sheets on Sunday night. Groceries, don't always get that one done, but I do not like going to the grocery store during the week. You want to have that done, so you head into Monday with an idea of what maybe your three dinners that you eat at home that week might be. You've got, whatever sort of soft drinks or beverages you want. You're not piecemealing that together throughout the week. I want that done. Dishes, gotta be put up and you don't have to clean your...
You don't want to wake up to a
right.
sink full of dishes.
You don't got to. Yeah. You don't have to clean your whole house or mop or anything like that every week, but I need basically all of those small, annoying tasks to be as close to completely Sunday squared away as I can.
I kind
of
like...
I understand that. Yeah, that makes sense because you've got the marker of Monday. Brand new week, here we go. You want to feel as empowered as possible going into that week. I don't think I do any of those, though. Like, I like to go to the grocery store during the week when the crowds are small. My laundry, I just do it whenever. It doesn't have to be on Sunday night. Any of those can just happen at random times. I'm not a guy that has a firm Sunday night deadline.
I do a Sunday night beard trim, neck shave.
Manscape.
Manscape, nose hair trim, little ear hair trim, just like everything around that you got to do once a week or else you get a little crazy.
Sunday night, huh? I don't like to do that at night because then you wake up and you've already kind of lost the freshness. See, I did this morning.
Well, before the shower on Sunday evening, just kind of clean everything up because I want to go into Monday with a clean neck.
It's very important.
And then...
See, I'm pretty hairy. I've got to do that stuff like every 3 days.
And you're not beard guy.
No.
Will you ever be beard guy?
So maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I had 2 weeks vacation one summer, and I grew it out for the full 2 weeks. And sure, it looked awesome, but but I didn't like it. It was too hot and itchy, and it really started to bug me. So I don't think I'll ever be full beard guy.
We need more bet payoffs on the morning show. Because the reason we end up growing mustaches
really?
And whatnot is we do bits. We like.
Right.
I like having a mustache. But
I like George with a mohawk.
But I can't walk around just having a mustache. I have to be able to say, oh, because I lost a bet.
Yeah.
Right. You look like a predator if you're just walking around with a mustache.
And then you tell them that you also have Amber Alerts turned off. And they're like, boy.
Right.
Rough mix.
And the van. Clean the garage made me feel real squared away this weekend.
Yeah.
Now, that's
a good one.
Couple years thing. The full garage clean. But I
I added a few to the original four, and garage cleaning was one of them. Car wash was one.
Ah.
Getting 4 new tires was one.
Okay.
Getting a prostate exam and getting good results, that's one.
You're a fan of the pressure washer, too, right? I think that was on
Yes, that was also added.
Yeah.
Hey,
oh, man, that was a blast. I love that. Cleaning out all the mortar lines on the brick outside my house with a power washer, that really made me feel squared away. And then just for kicks, I turned it and stuck it down the front of my pants and put it on full blast.
Did I find out also that you're a fan of Villanelle?
Yes.
I don't think no one else knows when I tell somebody about I'm not even saying the name of the show, because if I just say Villanelle and you understand, you're now in my club. You're not a...
Yeah, like, it must have been 3 years ago or 2 years ago when that series started, and I heard Corby talking about it on E! News, and I needed a new series, so I thought, okay. And immediately I was taken by her, and she's the best actress on television. I don't think there's any question about it.
Killing Eve, Jake. Are you familiar with Killing Eve?
I've heard great things, but I've just never pulled the trigger.
So I'm in the middle of the most recent season, just because I
just finished it.
I DVR'd everything. It's on the BBC network, and I think the old seasons are on Hulu.
Yeah,
if you're a Hulu guy, but Villanelle,
it's like just three seasons. So yeah,
probably the hottest. Like, she's so, there's just something about her. She could dress like a boy, mm-hmm. or she could dress like a 70s. Like, the outfits she wears are, she's unbelievable, and she will murder it on a whim.
Sandra Oh is really, really great in this show as well, but Villanelle, Jodie Comer, I believe is her name in real life.
Yeah.
She steals every scene she's in. She dominates the screen. You can't take your eyes off her. Her little facial expressions and mannerisms are just, they're really powerful. She's incredible.
Are you a Fleabag guy?
Yeah, loved it. Okay, loved it.
I was trying to tell Jake to watch that too, and it's not like I'm telling you to watch Breaking Bad where you need to go plow through 80 episodes. It's, you know.
I'll dive in.
Three seasons of 9 each, something pretty small, maybe 10 each. They're a half hour each. That's an awesome show.
Also, I'm probably going to need that after season 3 of The Leftovers, just a show that doesn't make me think. Maybe if we just all killed ourselves at the same time, this would be better and Earth can just start over like The Leftovers does.
Fleabag can be pretty up and down. As far as making your emotions, though, it's not everything is going to be a happy ride. It's not 30 Rock.
Well, there are no happy rides in Miracle. It's just all disaster.
Jardin,
yeah.
What's the real city's name? So should we get to Lance a little bit?
Yeah, at least the one big thing.
So what I ended up watching this, and there's a lot I didn't know. And I would imagine you, Craig, cannot say that when you watch this Lance doc.
No.
Being an insider.
The only new thing for me was when I heard him finally admit that taking performance-enhancing drugs could have caused his cancer. I had never heard him admit that.
Yeah, that was shocking.
I thought he was really, really honest, like, throughout this whole thing, like, even saying that. Like, he's like, I don't know, maybe. Like, I thought he was crazy honest. But what I was wondering was, because I am certainly not the insider that you are, and not a big fan of watching the Tour de France or anything, the closest I came is that I once saw Greg LeMond ride through Athens, Ohio. We set up all morning just at a corner just so we could see him ride by.
That's pretty big.
And he did. And then we were like, huh, cool. Greg LeMond. Like, you'd always heard about this guy. And then Lance came along and blew everything in your mind that had Greg LeMond in it out, because now we have the new standard bearer. But throughout it, I was not crushed and disappointed when I heard that he did finally admit to performance-enhancing drugs and all that. I liken it in my mind to when I heard that Mark McGuire finally came clean, or, you know, McGuire and Sosa, and then later Barry Bonds, you're like nodding, yeah, of course they're doing that. Mm-hmm. I never thought otherwise. Were you a guy that was, like, dying on this Lance Hill, and would you argue with sports fans or callers or people at a guy's night out that said, I think he's on the juice? And, like, was he on your Ken Griffey type list, where this is a guy that it would kill me if I knew if it was uncovered that he was actually this, you know, just one of the dirty athletes that he had been denouncing all these years?
So that's a really good question. I was 99.9% sure that he was doping.
Okay.
Just because I knew the sport, and just because I knew that EPO in particular gained traction in the European peloton and then all across the world in every country that races sport bicycles, you know, about 91, 92. And then Lance burst onto the scene. And so I knew the whole sport was doping. So I never really tried to make the argument he wasn't. However, I was also caught in the weird position of, this is my favorite sport. Nobody knows about this sport. I think it's a great sport, even though everybody's doping. It's still a really colorful, interesting sport to me. And so here's this guy that's making America finally pay attention to this sport. Yeah, so maybe I'll kind of steer around the doping issues here and there just to, so we can talk about the beauty of the sport and the history of the sport, and I can teach, for example, P1s about the sport, because I think there's a lot of great history and great tactics involved in the stages of the tour and bike racing, and there's so much good that I knew he was doping. We all knew he was doping. We all knew everybody in the sport from 91 to, you know, present day pretty much has been doing something, really. I mean, 1903 to present day, there's always been doping in the sport. I've said this before, but there was a great champion in the 50s who was asked by a French reporter, he said, "Do you dope?" And the champion responded, "Only when absolutely necessary, which is every day." So it's been around forever. But with the Lance story, it transcended, you know, the sport, and there was the cancer angle, and there was so much there that was good that I think I did what a lot of people in the sport did, and that was just kind of try to look the other way. And we had just seen a great Spanish champion in Miguel Indurain win 5 straight tours before Lance. He was clearly doping, but we just kind of made it through it, and he was a super nice guy, so nobody called him out on it. Nobody wanted to turn him in. He treated everybody well, and I've always said if Lance had done that, he probably would have gotten away with it too. But so I guess two answers to your question. I never thought he was clean, but I also didn't go out of my way to make that known.
Yeah, when you hear from the cancer survivors and the lady who had the fertility clinic that she opened and all the lives that have been saved and created through it, if you put yourself in his position, which is kind of what I try to do when I watch that documentary, is think, well, I think I probably just would have kept lying if I thought it was helping people stay alive. So it almost seems defensible in a
sense.
But
he did such the point your finger.
Yeah, he went
like
he
Rafi
went
Rafi thing.
Yeah, which makes it a little tougher. But
yes, very tough.
All right, Junior. Well, we appreciate your time today. How did you enjoy your stint in the hang zone? Quick review.
You know, it certainly wasn't the best hour of my life, but it wasn't the worst. And I think that's kind of what we're all getting at when we do a segment or an hour. We just don't want it to be the worst hour of our life. And so from that angle, I really enjoyed it.
That's the midday mantra right there. It's not the worst.
Not the worst 3 hours of your life.
The worst, yeah.
I just pray going into every segment we do on the morning show, I just pray that this will not be the worst segment of my life and lead to the worst day of my life. And if I get through it, with that bar, and I hurdle it okay, then I'm fine.
There's a new list for you. Top 5, bottom 5 segments you've ever done on the morning show.
Hey, I like it. I'll get to work on it.
All right, thanks, man.
Okay, guys, take care.
Craig Jr. Miller, it's 214. This is your ticket.